Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we are talking about competencies over coffee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Skills of the Future, and our newer mini-series on competencies over coffee. Today's topic will be on communication acumen in a post-pandemic world. My name is Andrea Butler, and I'm your host and principal consultant at Perennial Talent. My guest today is Marissa Evans. Marissa is a global training manager at Veritiv, a Fortune 500 company based in Atlanta, Georgia, where she's served in several roles over the past decade. Prior to Veritiv, she honed her business communication skills, having spent the earlier years of her career in radio and in the advertising creative agency space. She believes that good communication can solve all of the world's problems, and that while training can be effective, actually learning is more beneficial and fun. Welcome to the show, Marissa.
Thanks, Andrea. Thanks so much for having me.
So let's start off with our fun icebreaker question. What's the best thing maybe that you've watched or read that you'd recommend?
Oh, goodness. This is such a good question. Okay, this show is a little under the radar, but it's called The Great, and it's on Hulu. So it stars Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult as Catherine the Great and Peter the Not So Great. And it's a fictionalized account of her reign with a lot of humor and a lot of creative license. So if anybody is not watching that, I would highly, highly recommend giving it a chance because it is excellent.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to add that to my watch list. That is secretly why we keep adding that question, I must admit. Moving then on to our more on topic types of questions then. So in terms of communication, you know, what are some of the challenges you've seen when it comes to really building, developing communication skills, especially during the pandemic?
Well, one of the things I think has happened, and I think this trend was already happening, just the pandemic really accelerated it, is that we're forced to become really adept at digital communication almost overnight. And so if we were going to be communicating with people in the early stages of the pandemic, we were going to have to be doing it within a digital space. So we've all gotten so good at it that once we kind of more return to a more normal, traditional society, then it's going to be a bit of a shift to remember how to be effective in person when we've been putting all of our efforts into being so effective digitally. So it's going to be really interesting to see how we return to that balance and kind of what habits people have picked up, which ones they're going to shed, which ones are going to stick around.
Absolutely. As you and I were just talking about, it's, you know, poker faces. And sometimes when you don't have those cameras on, you don't have to worry as much.
Absolutely.
But in person, you really have to be a bit more conscious of what your face is saying from a communication standpoint.
Absolutely. And when you think about so much of communication is nonverbal, you know, it's what your face looks like, it's how you're standing, it's your body language, that, you know, it's like we've forgotten a lot of that. Because so much of that when the digital communication space is, you know, you haven't had to, you really only had to, you know, from your waist up and really be cognizant of your body language. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of that starts to come back together.
Absolutely. And are there certain aspects of communication that you feel are maybe most important right now for certainly organizational and individual performance?
Oh my goodness. Well, all of them, of course, as somebody who thinks very deeply about communication. But honestly, where I think we have some of the most opportunity is getting better at being succinct. I know it can be very tempting in person to, you know, to wax poetic and to really get deep into that. But I think one of the expectations that we have all developed over the past 2 years of the pandemic here is we've expected short, succinct, and also complete. What digital communication during a pandemic has taught us is that we have to be very efficient with our messaging. So that's gonna have to transfer into the face-to-face world. Again, I think this is a trend that predates the pandemic. The pandemic just accelerated it. So for example, if you look at advertising from say the 1980s or the early 90s, there are way more words on a print ad. You know, you've got Coca-Cola ads that tell a whole story. And if you look at ads today, that message is mostly being conveyed visually with images. So while I think that trend was already going in that direction, it's just really been accelerated. So I do feel like we need to be really thinking about how we can say more with less, whether it's fewer words or from a more visual standpoint as well.
And what do you think the future threats or pain points will be if an organization doesn't take the time to develop people's communication skills and help them to say more with less?
Well, like you said in my bio, I am a firm believer that every problem in the whole wide world can be solved by better communication. And well, that's a little disingenuous to problem solvers. I do think that that is so foundational and so fundamental. I do think that there are a lot of people that are still maybe in a little bit of a sense of waiting it out, quote unquote, and looking forward to things turning back, returning to quote unquote normal. I don't think we're ever going to be normal as we knew it before again, because society moves and people move and people evolve and we all build new habits and then new generations come into the workforce. Somebody in one of my classes a few weeks ago made the comment that I had not thought about, that this is the first time in history where we have so many different generations in the workforce. You know, we have everybody from boomers to the oldest members of Gen Z that are just starting to enter the workforce. And then you have your Gen Xers and your millennials in the middle. So this is really the first time in history where we've had so many different types of people all working together. And if an organization doesn't focus on how to communicate and makes assumptions about how people want to communicate, I think that's really a huge miss. So I really believe that that's not going to only benefit somebody's professional life, but it's going to help them in their personal life as well. And I do think, as far as if I'm looking at the most important skill, I think it's the skill of flexing, understanding your audience, knowing who you're talking to, reading the room, and adjusting your communication to make the most out of that. And I feel like if organizations don't focus on just the sheer diversity of communication among their people, they're really going to lose a lot and probably be at risk of losing really great employees.
Absolutely. And in terms of what an organization could perhaps do to mitigate those risks, know the audience, know the room, are there certain tools or programs that you feel it's important for them to focus on, certainly now and even into the future?
Absolutely. So I am a big fan of knowing yourself better across the board, whether that is how you like to learn, what your favorite food is, whatever. You know, I'm just a big fan of being introspective and understanding that. So translating that to a business space, there are so many good resources to help people understand their communication style. Not only is that clarifying and validating for the person who then feels understood, it really shines a light on how they can have empathy for those that they communicate with that might communicate a little differently than they do. And that also can shine a light on where maybe communication's broken down in the past and allows them to be self-reflective. So understanding your preferred communication style, I think, is huge. And on the other side of that, organizations understanding that their one-shot approach to communicating with their people is not necessarily going to work anymore. Because again, that's the thing that the pandemic has taught us. It has allowed us to be so much more flexible. So say, for instance, where an organization may have just put out an email communicating a change, you know, just any change. No, if they consider that people communicate differently and that they learn differently as well, you know, kind of hitting all of those. It's like, is there, and could they maybe record a short video, with a leader explaining the change? Could they potentially do an audio only version? So there's so many ways that they can so easily deliver that same message across multiple channels so that they are hitting the preferred style of the folks that work there. And again, what that does for the employees is helps them feel validated, helps them feel heard, and really helps them feel important since they're being communicated to in a way that works best for them.
And if you were to give advice to, you know, an HR professional who maybe is looking to define and certainly develop their people's communication skills and move beyond that one size fits all, what would you say to them?
Yeah. Oh man, I have a lot of things I could say to them. But here's the thing though, is that people don't love change. And the language of business is change. You know, it's changing for the better, you know, ideally always changing for the better. But I always say that, like, hey, it's a day that ends in Y. There's going to be some change of some sort. The calendar moves to the next day. You know, we move from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday. There's going to be change. You know, and so I believe that whatever an organization can do to help people feel like they are empowering the change, giving them the agency to play to their strengths, to be the best version of themselves, to feel like they have a stake in it, that is going to do wonders in helping businesses adapt. And another thing that I really love to think about, and something I wax poetic about pretty regularly, is knowing your learning style too, not just your communication style. Know how you like to learn. Do you like to hear? Do you like to write? Do you like to do? You know, like, there's all kinds of different things, different ways that people like to learn. So whatever an organization can do, an HR professional can do to help people feel validated, help them be the best version of themselves, and playing out and calling to their strengths and allowing them to be unofficial mentors to others, I believe is going to really help define and develop people across the board. And all of that has this underlying thread of communication skills in order to do that effectively. Should have finished that thought.
Absolutely. That was actually the last question that I had for you today. Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
Sure. Well, of course, you know, being a learning and development professional, I can't have a conversation without a recommendation of a book or a tool, because that's what we do here. So there are really great communication style quizzes and assessments out there. I personally like the one from People Styles at Work by the Boltons, but there's plenty more out there. There's the VARK Learning Style. It's V-A-R-K, Learning Style Quiz. Free to anyone who wants to take it. Very, very enlightening when it comes to kind of understanding how people like to learn. And one thing I want to mention as well is, you know, I talk about knowing yourself better, but one of the things that knowing yourself better does is it helps you understand how different people are, and it gives you visibility to all of that and helps others feel validated. And isn't that what communication is all about? You want to effectively deliver your message. You know, and for people to execute on that, they've got to feel validated. So knowing yourself better and understanding these things about yourself is going to have an incredible downstream effect.
Absolutely. Well, that was the last question, as I said, that I had for you. So I do want to thank you, Marissa, for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And listeners, if you'd like to, you know, talk to Marissa about more on communication tips and tricks, the best place to reach out to her would be on LinkedIn. So thanks again, Marissa. And thanks again to our listeners for listening.
Thank you so much, Andrea. Thanks for having me.